invite everyone to turn to the insert. And there's a contemporary reading that we are going to read responsibly. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars,
then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding.
No more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation, Aquarius. Let the sun shine, let the sun shine in, the sun shine in.
I bet you all didn't know the words to that. I only do part of them, so when you see them in paper, it's different. I want to begin this time together by saying that in our lifetime, it was illegal in a number of states, including Oklahoma, for a black person and a white person to be married, including Oklahoma in 1967. In fact, in 1967, 74% of Americans believed that interracial marriage should be illegal. 74%. It was in the trial Loving versus Virginia that the trial judge invoked God into his decision and said, and I'm paraphrasing, God Almighty created the races to remain separate forever and ever, and as God is my witness, interracial marriage shall never be legal. Thankfully, wiser heads prevailed, and in 1967, the Supreme Court heard and overturned Loving versus Virginia, paving the way for interracial marriage in every state. So in 1967, you and I would have been arrested, probably for more than one reason, actually. But here we are today, an interracial gay couple from different worlds, from different experiences. And so for the next few minutes, let's just visit with each other about that experience and how and if God factors into our relationship.
What's interesting about when I met you, after that initial meeting, the very next time we met was a date to your church. Yeah. So God was in it from the very beginning. As I've gotten older, I've become more aware of God's place in my life. I used to ask a lot of questions on slavery. How? How, Lord, did you allow one or usually a bunch of men to take chains and whips and beat a man or those men into submission? Usually or oftentimes it was into the grave. You can't beat a man with a chain and not break his bones. How can you, Lord, allow a person to feel or to be that angry when, in fact, why are we being beaten at all? Came here against our will. We weren't invited. We didn't come here to go to college. And I asked God that question, Scott, over and over and over again.
To God ever respond?
The Lord responded immediately. My problem was I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what the Lord was saying to me. I didn't understand what the Lord was doing with me. I felt that I was a victim, that my people were victimized. And while that's true, God also had plans for me and for all of us. And one of the things, one of the ways the Lord responded was by saying to me and letting me know that was not my work. Amen. That was never me. And if we go back into scriptures, and the Lord had to chastise us many, many times, you know, the flood, the Tower of Babel. I mean, those are just a couple of famous scenes in scripture. The Lord was able to take that situation and get our attention. Unfortunately, the Lord does not accept no when it should be yes. So that until we, God's people, until we all respond, not just to that situation, but all situations, it's going to be the turmoil that it is. So then, Lord, if it's not you, who is it? Who did that? You tell me in both the Old and the New Testament that you are God, the omnipotent. So what does that mean? What does that mean when I'm getting my butt whipped? The Lord is a funny person, a funny entity, and we don't understand. And we were promised that we will understand, as they said in the old church, by and by.
You know, some of the looks that we get as a couple in Oklahoma, it's hard to know if it's because we're a same gender couple, or because we're an interracial couple, or if it's because we're a same gender interracial couple. But I suspect it's some of all of that. You know, some of the same fundamentalists and the way that they look at scripture today to declare that gay people are an abomination to God are an absolute reflection of the way that scripture was used to prevent interracial marriage. Now, one of the things that I found very interesting in doing a little bit of research, if we go back to Leviticus, and that's the one that we hear over and over and over and over and over and over, that people throw Leviticus at us, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman, and that we should be stoned. Very literal. And yet it was an interpretive portion of Leviticus where the people are told you cannot plant different crops in the same place. They say, okay, that means that you can't marry interracially. So here we are in 2013 with people using some of the same tactics, I guess, for repression. But moving it away from the church for a minute, let's look at society. And we went to dinner a couple of months ago, and you walked in the door before me, and you told the hostess to for dinner. I walked in behind you, and she looked at me, and she said, good evening, how many? So we were seated, and we had our meal, and every time the server came by to ask how our meal was, he looked at me with that question.
And would never look at me.
Never looked at you. Until the check came, and he handed it to me, and I handed it to you. for some reason, society still doesn't grasp the fact that two people of different races can fall in love and build a life together. And I'll tell you, I know my parents would have been much, much happier if I had called them from New York and I said, "Mom, Dad, I've fallen in love, and her name is Suzette." Barring that, "Mom and Dad, I've fallen in love, and he's a white guy named Wayne." But instead, they got a very different package. I believe that my family loves you to the best of their ability. I don't know what that means. But I know that even now, there is a difference when you are the only one at Thanksgiving who doesn't look like everyone else. What about your family?
Your family, just quickly, I don't believe they do. My experience, what little intellect I have, tells me that they don't, but mostly that they can't. See, remember, God, in their way of thinking, just like everybody else that we know in the world, created black, created white, and everything in between. If we were to be different on the outside, then we must be different on the inside. And God would want us to be one if we were all the same. But since we're not, God wants us to be different, wants us to think differently. My family,
wait a minute, those are all white people.
I have a bio family and was raised by them predominantly, but like Cherie here, I also had a family that opted to take me when my mom was having problems with me. Those problems weren't really problems. I was just a precocious little kid who loved to dance, loved to sing in falsetto. I was running around the house like a little girl, she said. So there was a program in New York, the New York area, that allowed families to send their children away from the big city and smell the grass, smell the air, and the solemn burgers was that family for me. And it was supposed to be for 2 weeks during one summer. And it would end up being for the rest of my life. I was best man in both of their sons' wedding. Now, they knew white people before they knew me. Really been close to any blacks, so that was my first time, their first time. And so when you say family, I have to talk about the Sollenbergers, and they are a big part of my family. They are my family. My bio family were very different from your mom and dad. They, black people in general, we're different in a lot of ways. We've had so many things that were bad to happen to us. I'm not saying that we don't have the cornerstone on righteousness, but we have an understanding that a lot of people don't have about the down and trodden. And so my mom and dad, my bio family, their problem with us was that we were gay. It was never because of the races. My dad introduced my entire family to the races because he was a musician. You know, and so we had white musicians, black musicians, and all the wonderful colors in between. My mom and dad, the Sullenbergers, their problem, again, is the gay thing. They don't understand. What I love about them, though, is they believe in God. And they believe that the Lord has the power and the answer. And just like they believe I was delivered from almost a decade of hard drugs, shooting cocaine and heroin, that same Lord changed me from that, they also believed that the Lord could soften their hearts and open them up. And that changed me. I'm not saying that it was easy for them, because it wasn't. And it was all a process.
But you were part of that process. I mean, the fact that you were a black child in that environment, you were a part of that for them. And I remember back in the 60s when forced integration was happening in Oklahoma City. And I remember all of the just ad nauseum rhetoric surrounding that. And I can honestly say that in my life, one of the very best things that ever happened to me was the forced integration of Oklahoma City Public Schools, because I suddenly had friends that I never would have had otherwise. I remember Charles Chastain and Jolly Brown, those two guys, very different one from the other, but I was in love with both of them in 7th and 8th grade respectively. Getting to know someone and a bunch of someones in that regard was such a gift to me. And so while we were going to school and we were learning and we were playing and we were sharing, the rhetoric continued. The extreme bigotry continued right here in Oklahoma City. And I remember praying to God, God, if it was me, I would have made all of us the same. All of us the same color. Because then people wouldn't fight with each other just because of the color of their skin. I understand how naive that was. But it was an honest prayer when I was in 8th grade. Because I didn't understand then, and I don't understand now, how people can hate one another just because of the color of their skin.
One of my earliest experiences with a white person was that beautiful.
Oh, get ready for this. I was talking about falling in love in 7th and 8th grade. Go ahead.
This beautiful red-headed kid, probably Irish Catholic. We were in the Catholic hospital. We were both 4 years old. And the wonderful nurses put us in the bed together to play. And he was at one side, one end, I was at the other end, and we played footsie. And I remember that feeling that I got. It wasn't sexual, of course, but I had never seen red hair before. And I liked it. It didn't scare me. He was a white kid. We were the same age. I didn't know that then, but we were the same age. And he was like twice my size. and frightened.
You see a pattern here?
Yeah. And so, while I'm not claiming to be so righteous that I've never experienced the issue of race, I was born in this country. This country was built on the issue of race. But God blessed me as a young kid to be so open about it, and all through school, my entire life. And this would have been true even without the Sollenbergers, because I was already on my way. I met them the following year, and they would become a part of my life until, you know, death parts us. There's something about the blood of Christ that if you allow it to do what only it can do, it will rock your world in the most magnificent way. No one is better off than I am. No one. There's not an amount of money that you could lay on the table that's more exciting than the life that I've had. I've had a wonderful life. And it's because of that race thing, the inter-race thing.
That's an incredible statement. And just as you said it, I was thinking the same thing for myself. And yet, it's the race thing that causes people so much pain. You and your family going back forever. This is an aside, but I've been to Kenya several times, and I want to take you. We have to go there. But when I asked you, is there any way you can find out where on the continent your family is from, you answered no. And that thing still rocks me, because I can trace my family all the way back to some poor villages in Scotland and Ireland and France, and I'm a total mutt, but at least I can go all the way back, and you can't do that. And so I'm pointing that out to say that even despite that, despite the history, you can live in the present. And I find great strength in you. I happen to love you as a black man. But I find great strength because of the way Christ works in you. Not just as Wayne, but as M. Wayne, a black man. Because I learn, there's no way I can ever truly identify with your story. You told me a story about you and a friend. How old were you when the detectives rolled up? 13, 11?
Yeah, I was about 13, about 14, 15.
And the cops came up, they took your stuff, threw it all on the sidewalk, and then drove off.
We were on our way to the Penn Relays. I was running track at the national level.
And that was nothing but just but meanness. And yet, you're able to overcome that. And so, when I walk with you hand in hand, I'd be lying if I said that it wasn't the color of your skin that attracted me to you in the first place. But I can say that when we hold hands, there's nothing to me more beautiful than your skin and my skin next to each other. It is a gift. You said God has blessed you. We are not better than anyone else. We all have gifts. But I am grateful that God has blessed each of us with the ability and desire to love someone of a different race, of a different culture, of a different geography. Because we learn from each other, from each other's triumphs and failures, and you learned more in junior high school than I probably did my second year in college.
To a scholastic.
Yeah. And yet those academic things fall away when it comes to matters of faith. If I ask you, what is the most important thing? And this is a big question. I'm asking you because I don't think I can answer it. But what is the most important thing to you about being in an interracial marriage?
Firstly, I am attracted to your whiteness, to your exterior. I'm attracted to black exterior. That's the blessing. Interracial peace. People don't even realize how much alike we all are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we want to be different. You know, first thing that I heard when I got here was, well, you got to check out Nichols Hills. One of the blessings about New York, oh, by the way, and you know this because I've shared this with you over the years, New York is the thing that separates New York from Oklahoma is topography.
1,500 miles.
That's it. The racism that exists in anywhere, USA, exists there and probably existed there first because it's one of the early cities in our country's life. I know what it's like to be black of African descent. And it's cool. We hear the drums. There's a lot about us that's awesome. There's a lot about us that other people even appreciate. Listen to the television advertisements, and 9 times out of 10, hear a song, a jingle written or at least performed by a black person or group. They do it over and over and over again. And we were both in the advertising industry, both wearing many hats in our lives. And I think culture, being sensitive to culture, did that. But in advertising, it's a I don't even know how to say the word, but like billions in the 300. In an industry that would embrace, even though it's just for monetary gain, but embrace music from and by another culture, is telling you something.
Sure is.
That culture is making money for them. And that it can't be all bad.
Right.
What I get out of this inter-race piece is I don't know what it's like to be you or to be your people. I don't know what it's like to have always had privilege. And not just financial privilege. Your family did really good. They're not wealthy, but they've done well. Your father was quite a man. He took care of his family. But what else is there about you? The only thing that I can't even put it into words because it's such a spiritual thing. It's how do you explain to anyone what it's like to be with someone, even if it's the same race? I love this person because I love them. You will never get to understand that. So when it's interracial, I'm speechless.
And I think that that's a really good place for us to go back to the scripture, because it was our difference that we were both attracted to that day. We should tell everyone, we met on a Friday afternoon in the middle of the summer in the subway station underneath Grand Central Terminal. where there are millions of people every day that pass through there.
At any one given time, you can have 300,000 yes. people
right there.
Right there, right at the spot where we were.
But I saw you, and it was at that point that I could not deny anything. I loved what I saw. And I didn't know how, but I knew that one way or another, I wanted to be yours, and I wanted you to be mine. It was that difference that first attracted us, but it's what you said a moment ago. You said it's so spiritual that I can't even put it into words. And that's love. That's love not just between you and me, but that it's that same kind of Christ-centered love that allows all of us to work with people that we don't know, from cultures that we may not understand, because it is Christ's love that's a language all its own, but it's something that we're all gifted with.
I was, when you met me, I was certainly not using drugs and had been off Vesta for a long time, but I was also, I had AIDS, not HIV. Even with AIDS, you were able to love me. I was afraid of you, knowing that, but it's something that I told you day one.
Yeah. And that speaks to love being truly a God thing. The 36th Psalm says, God, your constant love reaches the heavens. Your faithfulness extends to the skies. Your righteousness is towering like the mountains. Your justice is like the depths of the sea. People and animals are in your care. It doesn't say white people or black people or red or yellow. It says people and animals are in your care. How precious, O God, is your constant love. We find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundant food you provide. You let us drink from the river of your goodness. You are the source of all life, and because of your light, we see light. Continue to love those who know you and to do good to those who are righteous. Nowhere here and nowhere in the teachings of Christ is one race separated above another. We are all God's children. And so, on this Diversity Sunday, let's celebrate our diversity. But more importantly, let's celebrate our unity as children of God. I love you. Let's pray. God, for our differences, we thank you. Help us to learn from each other, to grow, not just in our ability to work together, but in our willingness to find your love in all people, for we are all your children, and for this